For a topic today, I've chosen a very basic one, but I think we need to re-examine it from time to time. And let's look at it another way. It's called salvation. Now, you can know the Bible frontward and backwards, and every doctrine you might have them right down perfect. But if you're not saved, if you're not saved when Jesus comes, what a waste of a life. Because we need to make our calling and election sure. Do you not agree? It's an essential thing to have salvation. And we're looking forward to the day when the Holy Spirit again is outpoured upon us and we receive the latter rain. We're praying as a church, as a body, to get in one mind and in one accord so that we can finish the work that He has given us to do. But if you're not saved, where are you? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as you put this in my heart weeks ago, and as you have not allowed me to write it down, I'm depending on you to get it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have often been compared to, and we say we are, the Laodicean church. That the church of today, according to Revelation chapter 2, talking about the seven churches in Revelation, that they are a progression of ages, and that we are in the final age, the Laodicean age. But I want to put it to you that those seven churches all existed at the same time when these messages went forth, and that in this end time, not only is there the predominant Laodicean slant to the world, but these other churches are also present with us too. The makeup of a church is, and the identity of a church is you. Each church has its own identity, its style of worship, and it is up to you which church you relate to in these seven churches. Now, if you want to go along with the status quo and be contented to be called a member of the Church of Laodicea, that is up to you. There's messages in each one of these seven churches that are applicable to you as an individual. We must take these scriptures and these teachings of Jesus and we must apply them to ourselves and say, where am I in here? Is this what I want to be? Am I going to settle for this? Or am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill me and bring unity and power back to this church? Now, there was the former rain and there was the latter rain. And let me put it to you this way. If you haven't received the former rain, why are you expecting the latter? You need to receive the Holy Spirit. It was important. Wherever the apostles went, if they found pockets of believers, one of the questions they would ask, and Paul asked it a few times, is, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We have not so much as heard that there be any Holy Spirit, was the reply in one place. We got to understand who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. Did you know Jesus said that my Father, the Holy Spirit, would bring Him and the Father to come and live in our hearts, to dwell in us? At what point in your experience has that happened? If it hasn't, it had better. We need to get serious about what we're into. We need to begin to pray. You know that those disciples prayed how many days in the upper room? and they got themselves into one mind, one accord. And when that happened, when they achieved unity in that group, and this is a group here today, we can do it. If we will pray, seek God, ask if there's something wrong in our lives that hinders the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to make it known to us, if I have offended one of you, come and tell me and I will apologize and make it right with you. And you must do this. You must search your heart, because if you're not saved, all this is vain. So we've got to go back and examine what it is that makes us saved or part of the body of Christ. How is it that we come to Christ in the first place? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but ask yourself, have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior yet? That's the first thing you need to do. You need to get serious and ask Him to forgive your sins and wash them away in His blood. You have to admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And as many as receive Him, to Him gave He power to become the sons of God. We need to start with the basics. If we are not at least there, how can we ever expect to be refilled if we've never been filled in the first place? The Holy Spirit is God coming to live in our hearts. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit come and dwell in this temple. We are the temple of the living God. And it puts it to us this way, that we are that temple unless we be reprobates. I pray that we are not reprobates, because He will not come and live in an unclean vessel. We've got to get the salvation thing answered in our own personal lives before we can expect anything else. You've got to get right with God. You've got to thoroughly examine yourself and say, as the apostles, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, you have to ask yourself the same question. Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I? It very well may be. It is I. Jesus died on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven and remitted. In Acts chapter 2, and if you have your Bible and you're following along, go to Acts chapter 2. They were convicted. They were convicted when Peter preached that wonderful sermon on the day of Pentecost. They were pricked in their consciences, in their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what did Peter say? Then Peter said to them in 38, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you done these things yet? Have you repented of your sins? You know, repentance is a gift from God, just like faith is. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We need to have the faith to believe first. He has already given unto each one of us the measure of faith. And what is that measure that He has given to you and to me? Enough to get to Him to be saved. He only gives you enough faith that you can get to the next level. Some people have more faith because they use the faith they have and it increases. The more you use that little bit of faith, that mustard seed you might have in your heart, the more you use it, the more it grows. And then He gives you the faith, then He gives you the privilege of repenting. You have been granted repentance. In fact, when the Cornelius' household received salvation, the Jewish people that looked on says, oh, this is wonderful. Then has God granted repentance to the Gentiles. So we must utilize these gifts that God has given us, the gift of faith, the gift of repentance, and we must repent. We must be thoroughly sorry for the sin that we have committed. You see, because way back in the book of Genesis, we contracted a horrible, deadly disease. It's called sin. We've been infected ever since. And the wages of sin is death. Unless we repent, we will all likewise perish, and there'll be no cure if you don't get right with God. That's right. It is a desperate situation that we need to remedy. And the remedy is Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. He died the death that we deserve so we could live the life that He deserves. And He did it perfectly. Salvation is full and free for the asking. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto them. And Jesus repeated it in Revelation. So at the end of time, the message is still the same. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? Because if a man hath not the Spirit of God, he is none of his, the Bible says. You've got to have Jesus living and residing and abiding in your heart. So yes, pray earnestly for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For you, it will be the former rain. And then ask again and again. Every day, renew that relationship with Jesus. Jesus got up early in the morning, long before everybody else was up, prayed earnestly for hours for the Father's will to be done in his life. That is how serious he was about it. We must follow his example. We must try to be more and more like him in life practice, in all the things we do. We must try to be transformed into the image of Christ. For when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let thy will be done, O Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Are you saved? Now, what do I mean by that? Some people use that term very loosely. They say they are saved, but they live like the devil. Faith without works is dead. You show your faith by your works. All through the Bible, front to back, it's all stories of men, women, heroes of the faith who walked by faith, whatever they did. Even the laws that there were, the people in the time of the tabernacle, every one of those things they did them by faith, believing in who was to come. And that is Jesus. It's a walk that starts and ends, and everything in between is by faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's true in my life. It's got to be true in yours. We have to tell this to the nations. Yes, we have our special Seventh-day Adventist doctrines that were given to us, that we understand things possibly better than most other churches. They've got a partial revelation. We've got revelations too. But if I lose my soul, if I gain the whole world, where does it profit me? This is something you've got to get right, folks. I wonder if you would search your heart right now and ask, Lord, is there something in me that needs changing? Can I get closer to you? Lord, I haven't really asked you to forgive my sins. Or I asked you years ago, but I've kind of let it slip by the wayside. Some of you may have already received the Holy Spirit and didn't even know it. But it's like this. If you receive salvation by faith, you must have received the Holy Spirit. Or it's the same way to receive the Holy Spirit is by the same faith that you were saved. Don't make it difficult, folks. He wants to fill you more than you want the Holy Spirit. And it did say in the scriptures, and we saw it in our Sabbath school lesson, and it was the key scripture, that if you ask something of an earthly father, will he not give you a good thing instead of a bad thing? And so our Heavenly Father will give you the true, real Holy Spirit if you ask Him. You can trust Him. Have I received the Holy Spirit? Yes, I have. But I need a refilling. And I need a refilling. And I need another refilling. And so do we all. So if you haven't yet given your heart to Jesus, this is the time to do so. We will pray with you. If you want to come up here and kneel at this altar and take a few minutes and ask Jesus to come in and fill you with His life, because that's what saves you. Jesus living in you is what saves you. That's what's going to take you up when He comes. Jesus will lift up His. And you need to have Jesus in your heart or you're none of His. So come and make it right with Him. And if you want another filling of the Holy Spirit, see, we're praying for Latter-day experience. We're praying for a outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you've received Him in the past, let's receive it again. Let's get it as a group. Let's get in one mind and one accord. Let's make things right with one another and with God, and it shall be given unto us. So let's pray, and you can decide what you want to do while we pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for helping me, for I had no idea what I was going to say. But I pray that Your Holy Spirit has touched the hearts of the listeners today, and that as we pray, it will draw them unto You, us unto You, and to one another. We need an outpouring not only of the Holy Spirit, Lord, but of love and care for one another, and unity needs to come in here. We want so much to be of one mind and one accord. Help us, Lord. Help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.